All right. Everyone got with them a handout and a pen, right? We'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We are continuing our series today, which is very appropriately titled...
Cheer Up.
Is that what it's entitled? Cheer Up. No, I made sure. See what's after the P there? And the up is an exclamation mark. Say it with me. Cheer up. Cheer up. All right. Very good. It's Christmas and caroling and stuff. All right. So we have an advantage over the rest of the people who celebrate Christmas on December 25th. That we have an extra 2 weeks to celebrate Christmas. An extra 2 weeks to sing Christmas carols and watch A Christmas Story if we got it on tape or whatever. And we have an extra 2 weeks to be happy because it's the happiest time of the year. And that's what we're talking about in this series, is how to be happy and how to find real happiness and cheering up during this Christmas time. And we said we're going to look at, the Lord gave a model. He gave like a formula. If you want to be happy in life, then you should do certain things. And where is that formula found in the Bible? Who remembers? The Sermon on the Mount, right at the beginning, is the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, where he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he said, blessed are those who mourn. And those are the two we discussed the 2 weeks before. Is that God says you can find blessing, or not blessing, another way of saying happiness, if you are, number one, humble. And we talked about why humility is important for happiness. And if you don't have humility, then you'll never find happiness in life. And then we talked about last time, is about mourning actually leads to joy. Because mourning leads us to getting God's comfort. And if we never mourn, we'll never have God's comfort. And that's another way of finding happiness. Now, today's instruction is Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, at the top of your hand out there. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Today we're going to talk about meekness and how meekness leads to happiness. Now, again, everything in the Beatitudes kind of sounds backwards. So we don't understand, doesn't make sense to most people, how mourning leads me to be happy. Well, this is another one of those, that blessed are the meek kind of sounds ridiculous. All right? Blessed are the meek. All right, we live in a dog-eat-dog world, right? And society is pushing forward, and it's every man for himself out there, and if you can't take the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen. And it's one of those fast-paced worlds where everyone is pushing ahead, pushing to climb to the top. Now, in the midst of that fast-paced, busy, rush, Lord comes and says, to find real happiness, be meek. What does meek mean? Well, I think that meekness is one of the most misunderstood words that we have out there. Usually, what do you think of meekness? When I say the word meek, what do you think of? What comes to your mind right away? Meek. First of all, positive or negative?
Negative.
Okay. What do you think of? Very good. We usually think meek equals weak. Meekness equals weakness. That's what we usually think. I think of meekness, I think back, I don't know if you guys can relate here, to the Blondie cartoons. Do you remember Blondie? The Blondie cartoons, I don't know if you remember that. It was that husband and that wife. And the husband was basically a pushover. And the wife would always come and yell at him, and he'd tell him to do this and do that. He would just kind of slump and do whatever she tells him to do. Not Blondie, Andy Capp. That's what I'm thinking of. Not Blondie. Andy Capp. Okay? So he was always just kind of like, you know, whatever, and the wife would always just push him around. And that's usually what we think of. We think of meekness, a pushover, a sissy, someone who gets told what to do. It's a negative thing. If I came and said, you know, I see that you're really growing in meekness. You're the most meek person I know. You wouldn't be very happy with that comment. Because we hear the term, you hear meek as a what? Meek as a mouse, right? Maybe you heard that, meek as a mouse. It's not a positive thing in today's days and times. But I think that we have lost the meaning of what the word meekness really means. The word meekness doesn't mean weakness. Let's go to God's Word and see what meekness means. In the Bible, two people were called meek. Who are they? Special prize if you get it. Who are the two people? Two people were called meek. Only two.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is one. Who knows the second? Old Testament. Red Sea. Old guy. Moses. Very good. Okay? Only two people in the whole Bible were ever called meek. And that's Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Moses himself. Now, when you think of those two, Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think of weakness? Do you think of a pushover? All right? Now, Jesus, that's one that's... Okay, we know he's the epitome of all virtues. But Moses. Was Moses a pushover by any means? Moses was very strong. Moses was very bold. And Moses knew what was going on in life. Moses was very successful. So meekness doesn't equal weakness. I would define meekness as this. Write this down. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. And if you go to the original Greek, the word that's translated meek is used to describe a wild horse that has been tamed. Okay? That's what meekness means. A really, really strong, wild, whatever kind of horse, but that's under control. When you think of meekness, alright, which animal comes to your mind? You know what a meek animal is? A lion is a meek animal. Okay? A lion is a meek animal because a lion has got a lot of power, a lot of strength. But usually, he's just kind of sitting, just chilling. So when a lion is just kind of walking, sitting there, that's meekness. A sheep is meek. A sheep is meek? No, a sheep is weak. Sheep can't do nothing even if he wanted to. But a lion is meek because a lion, or like a wild horse, has got the ability and the strength, whatever, but it keeps it under control. So that's what meekness means, is strength under control. Once upon a time, there's a group of bikers, okay? And you know the bikers in the movies, and they walk into this diner or whatever, and bikers just coming in to cause trouble. So they see some guy, some sucker sitting right there in the corner, and they decide they're going to pick on this sucker. So one of the guys comes and like flips his plate of spaghetti in his face. The guy didn't do nothing. Another guy comes and takes his drink and pours it on his head. The old Western style or whatever. He doesn't do nothing. And another guy comes and like kicks him in the shin. He doesn't do nothing. The man very calmly, very quietly, sits there, gets up, goes to the thing and pays his bill, and walks out. And they're all laughing and joking at him, and the bikers are talking, and the waitress comes on. The biker starts saying to the waitress, "That guy wasn't much of a man, was he?" She says, "No, he wasn't. And apparently he wasn't much of a truck driver. He wasn't much of a driver either. He just drove his truck and ran over 12 Harleys right outside in the parking lot right there." That's meekness. Okay? Strength. Well, not meekness is the running over the thing, but that's meekness is strength under control. Okay? Having the ability to crush someone, but keeping it under control. What I'm talking about meekness is when he was sitting in the restaurant, not what he did in the parking lot. Okay? It's just a little example. So anyway, meekness is strength under control. And Jesus said, "The blessed are you, happy are you, you will find joy in life if you learn how to be meek in life." So what we want to do today is figure out how to be meek. And the main thing that we're going to talk about is four different ways to be able to control the strength that I have, or control my reactions, or control the way I treat others, or control my behavior, because that's what meekness is all about. It's about control. Alright? So I'll tell you the number one way not to be meek is overreacting. Right? So we'll get into four ways that. So when do I need to control my reactions? Well, number one, when someone serves you, be understanding, not demanding. Alright? When someone serves you, be understanding, not demanding. Hopefully they'll all rhyme, so, sort of. Look at Philippians 2, verse 4 to 5. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Ask yourself this question. When you deal with people outside, people who are serving you, or people who are doing something for you, are you understanding? Are you demanding? Think about your behavior with waiters and waitresses. Think about your behavior when you go to any service place. I remember one time I was in a bowling alley. All right, a couple of months ago, we had this thing, and it was like a young couple's event, and it was a bowling night. Maybe some of you remember the bowling night. And there was a prize for the winners. So I was going to go, so I'm not concerned about myself, but it was a joint score, so we practiced, okay? I took Marianne in on one of our days off, and we did a little practicing. We worked on her form and this and that. She wasn't too bad. We came in second. Well, next time we'll get first, hopefully. Anyway, so we were there, you know, and we were in no rush. It was our day off, just relaxed, went out for lunch or whatever. Then we said, "Let's go play a little bowling." Went to the place up here in Fairfax, and the lane gave us some problems, whatever. Like, the thing wouldn't reset, or the pins wouldn't whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was. So I go up to the guy, and I explain to him the situation. Now, I guess I caught a trainee or a new guy or whatever, because he clearly didn't know what he was doing. So he said, you know, "Okay, it'll be fixed in a second." You go back, nothing's fixed. So go back and explain to him the situation's not fixed. He says, "Push the reset button." Push the reset. I didn't do anything as well. So I go back to him again. And he was like really stressed and like nervous and all this kind of stuff. I was like, it's okay, man, relax, take your time, no rush. So he really appreciated that. Like, he saw that I was understanding and I wasn't on his case, and he appreciated it. So he asked me a question. People look at me, they say, who's this crazy guy playing bowling? So he said, you know, you're obviously of some, you know, religion. Where are you from? So I said, St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox, from St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church over there on Braddock. He says, oh, we always get groups from your church. So then it hit me all of a sudden. I wonder what he's thinking when he hears. Let's say we didn't have this discussion together and I wasn't very understanding. Let's say I just came to him at the beginning with a big sign that says St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church. What do you think he'd think? What would he say? What would his impression be of me? So then I started to think about it. Let's say I go to the local McDonald's over here and I would just ask people, what's your impression of St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox people? Or I go to the mall. Or I go to, you know, the DMV. Or I go to the airport. And I start saying, I'm from St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church. What would people say? Oh, you guys are very understanding and we're so happy when your people come into this place because they're always so calm and they never yell and scream and they never give us a hard time or anything like that. They're so understanding. Or would they say the exact opposite? Oh, no, those are the people who freak out and always cause problems and are so demanding and are so arrogant and are so this and that. What would they say? Ask yourself this question when you go to these places. If I asked the secretaries in your office building, or if I asked the clerks at the deli downstairs, are those people understanding? Are those people demanding? What would they say? How you deal with those people is very important. Because you can choose to either be understanding or demanding. In general, okay, this is not against any one of us, but in general, let's not use the word Coptic. Let's use the word Egyptian, okay? Egyptian people don't have the best reputation out there at hotels, at retreat centers, or any kind of overnight facility, right? And some of you know why, exactly why, right? So in general, we don't have the best. We find someone whose job it is to serve me, and we will get every ounce of service out of that person, okay? This person, they're getting paid to do this. We're going to make them work. All right, get me water, and get me this, and take this back, and take all that kind of stuff. So, I'm not saying us. Okay, now the cops, the Christians, of course, we're above and beyond. But sometimes we have that reputation. So the question is here for meekness. When someone is serving you, and they are not up to your standard, or they're a little slow, or they disappoint you somehow, are you demanding? Are you pushy? Are you rude? Or are you meek? And meekness is by being understanding. Look at Romans 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. You will never find happiness unless you learn that first part of that verse. To receive one who is weak in the faith. Unless you learn to accept people who haven't attained your standards of perfection. Who aren't as fast as you are in the escalator going up on the left. Who don't know exactly what to do in these situations. Do you want this? You have to learn how to accept those people. And that's what meekness is. Okay, so that's the first thing. Is when someone is serving you, be understanding, not demanding. The second thing you need to do is when someone disagrees with you, be tender without surrender. Be tender without surrender. Now, this is one that we can all practice meekness in because people disagree with us all the time, right? There's no such thing as a person who can please everyone. There's no such thing as you're always going to be loved and always liked and always the hero. And we change from hero to villain almost overnight. Yesterday, if you did what probably half of America did, you watched the Lakers play against the Heat yesterday, right? And the whole thing was Kobe and Shaq, and they were asking Kobe Bryant is a basketball player. He plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. And one year ago today, he was one of the most loved people in the world. And he was, everyone had his jersey and all this kind of stuff. Everyone would be like Kobe, next Michael Jordan. But in 1 year, he's fallen to the greatest villain in this country. Because he got accused of sexual assault. Now the charges got dropped, but whatever. And he's just been a jerk in so many different ways. And he's really fallen from grace. And that epitomizes this whole, you can be a hero 1 minute, and you can be a villain the next. And I'll tell you what, if he starts smiling again and putting up 40, 50 points a night, he'll be back to hero in no time. Because that's the way people change. And the same thing for you. Maybe not to those extremes, but in general in life, sometimes you'll be liked, sometimes you'll be disliked. Sometimes people agree with you, sometimes people disagree with you. Sometimes everyone says you're the smartest, sometimes people don't want to hear what you have to say. The question is, the test of your maturity is, when someone disagrees with me, when someone doesn't want me or like me or whatever, what's my response going to be? How do you handle disagreeable people? How do you handle annoying people? How do you handle people who just want to argue with you? How do you handle people who just bug you and just drive you crazy? How do you handle those people? That's where meekness needs to come in. In general, there's three ways that you can handle these people. Not these people. People when they disagree with you. There's three responses that you can do. One is this extreme, one is this extreme, and one is the right one. First extreme is sometimes we run away or we retreat and we're scared or we hide or we get very, very passive. That's like the doormat approach. So someone disagrees with me, okay man, whatever it is you say. And someone doesn't like what I have to say, okay, I'm just going to shut my mouth. And someone thinks that what I said wasn't smart, so I'm never going to talk again. That's not the right approach, okay? That's the doormat. That's what we usually think of when we think about meekness. That's not meekness. That's weakness. Now the other extreme that we go to is exploding in anger, okay? So someone disagrees with me, well, we're going to give them a mouthful. And someone doesn't like my opinion, I'm going to shove that opinion down their throat. I'm going to make them agree with my opinion because my opinion is the right opinion. That's not the right way either. Look at James chapter 3, 16 and 17. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See, that wisdom that's above is peaceable and gentle. You know what the word gentle means? Gentle means meek. Okay? So circle that or underline that. What it's saying there is strength under control. Okay? Gentleness is the same as meekness. You heard the term gentle giant, right? Okay? So a gentle giant is someone who's really big and really strong, but they're meek. They're gentle. They have the power, but they keep it under control. Okay? So, reacting in anger is not the right thing. Now, for those of us who have a problem with this, for those of us who maybe tend to be a little bit too explosive, or a little too argumentative, or a little bit too whatever you want to call it, the problem here is, when this happens, it goes deep inside, okay, to a thing called the ego. Alright? And if you tend to be one of those explosive people, it's a manifestation of an inner problem with the ego, or the pride. Thinking a little bit too much of yourself. My opinion came from me, therefore it's this, therefore everyone must agree with it. So you need to check inside, check the ego. You should be able to walk hand in hand with people without seeing eye to eye with people. Alright? That makes sense? You should be able to walk hand in hand with others. We should all be able to walk hand in hand, even though we don't see eye to eye on everything. Even though we have disagreements. Even though some like George Bush and some like John Kerry. Jim Kerry too, if you like Jim Kerry. Alright? Even though some are Democrats, some are Republicans. Even though some like the Redskins and some, believe it or not, like the Cowboys. We should be able to walk hand in hand, even though we don't always see eye to eye on things. Alright? There's no better example of that. That was made clear to me so when me and Marianne got married, you know me and Marianne, anyone who knows us knows, we're kind of opposites on lots of things, okay? So it's unique how God brings people who, I like to say, compliment each other, okay? Don't disagree, we compliment each other. It was never more apparent than the first day of our honeymoon. We arrived and we went to Hawaii, and Hawaii is very expensive. So we decided that we were going to, instead of going out to eat, we would go shopping. We go shopping, we buy food, then we try to cut back on some of the expensiveness of the trip, okay? So we went shopping. Every single aisle we went. Oh, we got ice cream. I want chocolate. I want vanilla. Okay? Next aisle, let's get some cereal. I want Cocoa Puffs. I want Rice Krispies. Okay, next aisle. Even cheesecake. We finally agree we like cheesecake. I like plain. I like the chocolate chip kind. Every single thing we disagreed on. She's always vanilla. I'm always chocolate. So everything from start to finish we disagree on, but this is how God allows us to complement each other, right? So we got both. We got some of each, all right? And we never went out again. We spent the whole, we didn't have to go out at all to eat any dinner because we had enough food. The bottom line is that when you disagree with people, it's not an explode in anger kind of a thing. So what's the right way? I'm not retreating in fear. I'm not exploding in anger. I should instead respond in love. Okay? Respond in love. And that's the gentleness. That's the meekness. Alright? Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. See the word gentle again. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. What you see here is meekness or gentleness is a qualification for a servant of the Lord. Okay? A servant should not quarrel. No, a servant must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. So it is a qualification for being a servant or being a spiritual leader, not to argue, not to be quarrel, but instead to be gentle and to instruct people so that hopefully God would do something. So, bottom line of all this is the world ain't perfect. There's lots of people in this world who's going to disagree with you. There's lots of people in this world who's going to offend you and upset you. Hey, let's be honest. We've done the same thing to other people, right? We offend other people. We upset other people. We shouldn't respond in anger, but instead we should learn how to be gentle and meek and realize that people are imperfect. People are going to let you down, but we don't respond in anger. We respond in love. Okay? That's number two. Number three. When someone corrects you, now this is notice it gets progressively more and more difficult. Okay, so the beginning was someone serving you and all the power. The next one, someone disagrees with you, but now someone corrects you. All right, and this is where we're gonna have to. This is where it takes a little bit more guts. When someone corrects you, be teachable, not unreachable. I wanted to make them rhyme, okay? They're going to... We'll explain what it means. But it's nice when it rhymes. Tender without surrender. Teachable, not unreachable. Meekness is a teachable spirit. Or, I created this own word. That's okay, but I like it. Teachableness, okay? Meekness is teachableness. And it's the quality that you can be taught something, all right? Meek people are always eager to learn and always eager to improve and don't have the attitude of I got it all figured out in life and I know it all. Look at James 1 verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That verse is the key, and that verse is a formula in how not to lose your temper. And the formula says that if you do number 1 and number 2, I guarantee you number 3 will happen. If you, number 1, be swift to hear. Number 2, be slow to speak. I guarantee you that you will be slow to wrath. So, that's the formula that we want to use. And this is something, it's an easy way to remind yourself always that you should listen before speaking, because God gave you how many ears? How many mouths? Just one. So that's to remind you that in this world you should be listening twice as much as you're talking. Okay? So ask yourself the question. My friend has some constructive criticism for me, or my parents, or my father of confession, or whoever has some criticism for me. How do I respond? Do I very defensive? Do I get upset? Or do I respond by thinking about it and seeing how I can improve myself? Am I willing to be corrected, or am I uncorrectable? Am I unteachable, or am I unreachable? Meek people, if you want to be happy, you need to be meek. And meek people know that they don't have it all figured out. They know they don't have all the answers. And just a word of advice to you. If you know someone who does have all the answers and who has it all figured out and is unreachable and is unteachable and unwilling to take constructive criticism, be careful of this person. Because this person is not a person that you want to get too close to. All right? This is a person who could harm you very much in life. Because there's no meekness there. So, that's not you. Hopefully you are meek. And hopefully you are open to new ideas. And you don't have the attitude, well, this is the way I always do things, this is the way it's always going to be. Or this is the way I think it should be, so therefore this must be the right way. I have met, in my life, I can't say I met that many people, but I met a lot of people in life. And I can honestly say that the wisest people that I've ever met are the people who don't talk the most, but the people who listen the most. And the people who are so willing to learn from other people. And every now and then you meet someone like that, and you just kind of, I don't know about you, but you can see the wisdom kind of oozing off them. Someone who takes every person he meets and doesn't mind learning from them. Will Rogers, famous guy, once said, I never met a man I didn't like. Okay? Well, I think that we should say, I never met a man I couldn't learn from. Can you say that? I never met a man I couldn't learn from. One time someone taught me this, and believe me, you can learn a lot from people you never expect. I believe that every single person that I meet, every single day, I can learn from them. I believe that as I'm walking down the street and I meet someone who has nothing to do with anything that relates to my life, I can learn from them. I believe that when I go to work or when you go to work or wherever, that you can learn from your coworkers, even though they may not be Christian. You can learn something from them. Maybe you can learn patience from them. Maybe you can learn dedication from them. Who knows? But every one of us should be able to learn from every single person that we meet. But in order to learn from people, there's kind of a little secret. You got to learn the key. And the key is asking the right questions. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." You got to learn to draw it out. That's the secret of being wise. That's the secret of intelligence, is learning how to draw it out. Our church taught us this in the monasteries. When you go to the monastery and you meet a monk, or you meet, you know, if you're lucky enough even to meet the bishop of the monastery, they used to go, people would just go, and what would they say to the monk? They just give me a spiritual word. Just give me a word of benefit. Give me something that's going to help me out in life. And who knows what he's going to say. One time I remember, I was in the monastery here in Los Angeles, and we were with a group, and we went, and we had the blessing of meeting His Grace Emperor Karaz before he passed away. And we said that, just give us a word. And I remember he talked to us about the Jesus prayer, and it was really from God, because I was with some friends, and like the week before we had been talking about the Jesus prayer, and someone read the book, and we talked about the book, then we go, and he tells us about the Jesus prayer. And every one of us was enlightened this day, and every one of us felt really that God gave us something good because we asked the question. But it's not just meeting a person and waving at him and kissing his hand and you get blessing. You get blessing when you say, "Give me something." Okay? Learn to ask the right questions. Every single one of us has knowledge that can be benefited to someone else. I can learn from every one of you, and every one of you can learn from every one of you. Because the bottom line is, every one of us is experts on different areas. If you want to look at it another way, every one of us is ignorant, but just on different areas. There's things in life that I don't know, but maybe you know. So if you know certain things and I know certain things, we could put them together and both of us know that much more. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in life, is learning from other people. Because some people got expertise. I mean, I take advantage of this all the time. I don't like to go to a doctor, so if I need medicine, I just go to a doctor, just give me the medicine. Because they got expertise, and they can help me out in something that I don't know the answer to. Or someone who needs to help with your car, something wrong with it, instead of going and reading the encyclopedia on how to fix a car, just go to someone who knows about cars and ask them to teach you. All right? Every one of us got things that we know that other people don't know. So, learn to ask the right questions. Meet someone and ask him. Here's a good question you could ask someone to grow spiritually. What spiritual books have you read that have really benefited you? You ever ask someone that question? Find someone that you really respect and ask them that question. Guarantee you'll benefit from it. What is the greatest thing that has helped you in your spiritual life to grow? What can you give me advice for raising kids? Or with struggling with a 40-hour a week job and 21 credits in school? Give me some advice. Give me a tip that'll help me out. A wise person learns how to draw out the wisdom from other people. So, hopefully you can do the same. Have you learned to learn from each other? Learn how to learn from your boss. Learn how to learn from everyone around you. How about, you know what? You know who else you can even learn from? Your enemies. Do you know that you can learn from your enemies? The people who dislike you, people who criticize you, you can learn a lot from them. You know why? Because usually when someone criticizes you, all right, if I'm going to criticize Christine, and I'm going to say bad things about all this kind of stuff, usually, if you go down to the criticism, there's 1% of it that's probably true. There's probably something that is in her, which is 1% true. Then I explode and I make it bigger and I magnify all this stuff. But if she's wise, she can hear all this criticism and she doesn't got to take it and get personal or anything like that. But she can say, you know what? Is there any truth to what Abuna Anthony is saying here? Is there any truth to any of this kind of stuff? Well, maybe there is. Maybe I can improve this area. So learn how to learn from your critics, from your enemies, from those who kind of criticize you. Because if you can't learn from people, then you're unreachable, and therefore you're not meek. And the Bible says, no meekness, no happiness. All right? So the progression was, someone serves you, someone disagrees with you, someone corrects you. Now the fourth one, when someone hurts you. When someone hurts you, be an actor, not a reactor. That rhymes, yes. Actor and reactor rhyme, yes. Be an actor, not a reactor. What's the difference? What's the difference between an actor and a reactor? Well, it's very simple. And it's very intuitive once you think about it. An actor does stuff, and a reactor does stuff based on that stuff. So a reactor is controlled by the initial thing. Okay? Does that make sense? A reactor waits till something happens and then reacts. But an actor just does stuff. Alright? Which of the two is better? An actor. Look at Romans 12. Verse 17 and 21 there. Repay no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. If you were to repay evil for evil, then you are a reactor. Someone does evil to me, I do evil back to them. Someone does good to me, I do good back to them. 90% of the world lives right here. Someone smiles at me, I smile back at them. Someone honks at me, I honk back at them. Someone looks nicely at me and says hello, I say hello back. But if someone spits on me, then I spit back. Okay? That's the way the world is reactive, not being actors. But meekness is the exact opposite of that. Meekness is controlling, remember, strength under control. So you control how you respond. And you choose not to retaliate, not to get even, not to fight fire with fire, and not just to be a mirror, and whatever happens to me, I do back to the other person, but instead to act. All right, and then decide how I want to act. If you look at the word reactor, it begins with a re, all right? And that's the same as retaliate, all right, or respond or whatever. Any of those kinds of re's we don't want to do, all right? We want to be in control of our actions and not have someone else control my day. I remember one time, another story. Remember one time I told you guys some of this before? I remember me and Abunim Shoy one time, we were in Boston, all right? And we were at the clergy seminar and we were coming back. And on the way back, we had a rental car, so we went to return our rental car. And so you return the rental car and you wait there for the shuttle. And we're standing there waiting for the shuttle, and the guy comes up to me and, you know, sees us two standing there, and I didn't even see him coming. And he comes and says, you know, what are you? Kind of rough like that, but I said, we're in Boston, whatever. Well, whatever. So I'm a priest from the Coptic Orthodox Church, Christians of Egypt, stuff like that. And he said something, I can't remember exactly what he said. Something very rude, and he was smoking a cigarette, and blew all the smoke right in my face. I was shocked. Where'd that come from? Whatever. I'm just waiting for my bus, I just want to go home. We get on the bus, who comes sits next to us? The grumpy guy. So it's one of these buses where you sit facing each other like this. So this guy, by this point, I realize he hates me. I don't know what I've done, but he hates me. No doubt about it. He hates me. The way he's looking at me, he hates me. He must have had some experience. He was a kid with a... I don't know what happened, but he, for some reason, hates anyone who calls himself a priest. So he's sitting. There's the bus driver. Here's me. Here's the Boon of Shoy, and there's some more people, and he's right there. So he starts talking to the bus driver at me, but talking to him. He's like, you know, what's your name to the bus driver? The bus driver's like, Eduardo. I don't know what the bus driver said his name was. Whatever. Eduardo, you're a good man. You're not like these guys. These guys will tell you you're going to hell. And these guys, all they do is go around and judge people. And that's why God doesn't like people like that. God likes good people like you, Eduardo. You're a good man. I'm like, I knew nothing to know. I was just sitting here on the bus. So he's really trying to like, and this is going on for like 10 minutes all the way to the airport. He's trying to get something, trying to get me to go. And believe me, it was building up in there, right? Because I didn't do nothing wrong, and it was building, but I controlled this and that. And then he gets off this thing first. So as he's walking, you know, thank you, Eduardo, this and that. And then he walks by me, and he glares at me like that. What did I say?
God bless you.
Have a nice day, sir. I said something like that, like, it was pleasant speaking with you, or something like that. You know, like, something like that. And believe me, that wasn't easy, okay? But basically what I said to myself is, I'm happy to go home, and I really, really want to go home. I really, really want to get out of Boston, and I'm very, very happy to go, and I'm not going to let this guy ruin my day. I woke up this morning and I said, I want to be in a good mood today. I want to smile. I want to be calm. Now this guy comes and does all this stuff. I'm not going to let him control my day. How many of you ever said the phrase, oh, he makes me so mad? Or, you know, that person, you know, they make me feel this way. They make me angry. They make me sad. What you're doing is you're giving control of your day and control of your demeanor and control of your whatever to someone else. And that's why I say that, if you want to know what that is, that's weakness. That's what weakness is. Weakness is that you control me. So you yell at me, I'm going to be angry. You pat me on the back, I'm going to be happy. But strength under control and meekness is, I get up and say, today's going to be a good day. Nothing you can do to ruin that. Today's going to be a good day. If there's traffic, that's not going to ruin my day. If people cut me off on the road, that's not going to ruin my day. Someone could blow smoke in my face, it's not going to ruin my day. I'm going to be in a good mood today, whether you like it or not. Which of the two is more strength? Which of the two is a stronger position? That's what meekness is all about. The minute that you start seeking revenge or trying to retaliate is the minute that you lost control and the minute that you became weak because you're no longer in control of the situation. So Jesus says, be happy in life. Got to learn to be meek. You got to learn how to control your response and not respond to people, not be reactors, but instead be actors. If you want to know an example in the Bible, I didn't put it there because it's a long story, but you can go home and read Numbers chapter 12 when you get home. Numbers chapter 12 is an example of Moses. All right? And Moses, we said, was an example of meekness. And in Numbers chapter 12, Moses was being criticized. Basically, he had married an Ethiopian, and his family didn't like that. They didn't like that he married someone from another country, especially Ethiopia. So they were criticizing him and all this kind of stuff. Now, Moses didn't defend himself, didn't argue back with his brother and sister, kind of left it to God. Said, God, you do whatever it is you want to do. And God took care of the situation. God went to Miriam, the sister of Moses, says, you like white skin so much? Here, take some white skin. Here's leprosy. Now you have leprosy. And I'll make your skin really, really, really white. And that was how God responded to the situation. You see, you have a choice in life. You can either get even yourself or let God get even. Who's going to do a better job? God is going to do a much better job. Now, I'm not saying God's going to cast leprosy on the people that you don't like or anything like that. What I'm saying is, when someone does something to upset you, this guy who blew the smoke in the face, I can either get revenge myself or I can let God handle the situation. And I know that if I do it, God won't do it because God isn't pushy. So God says, either you or me, you choose, but not both. Okay? So you want to do it, that's fine. I'll leave it on you. Good luck. You'll probably mess things up. You'll probably have a bad day. And that guy probably beat you up because he's 10 times stronger than you are. So that's really what motivated me not to say anything more than anything else. So meekness is also wisdom in this situation. You can do it if you want, or you can let me handle it. But you can't have both. So you need to learn or decide what you're going to do. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. Ask yourself, what determines your emotions? What determines your anger? What determines your happiness? Are you controlled by the circumstances around you? Controlled by what people do around you? Or are you controlled by a choice to behave a certain way and to act a certain way? Anytime you say, you make me so angry, or you make me feel so bad, or any of that kind of stuff, that's the position of weakness. Okay? And there is no blessing for those people. But Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who control their reactions. What's the reward specifically for the meek? What's the reward that he said? Blessed are the meek for what? They shall inherit the earth. What does that mean, they will inherit the earth? Think about that. Let's change that to another way. Instead of saying inherit the earth, the earth is yours, or the world is yours. All right. Blessed are you if you control your reaction, because the world is yours. Everything around you is yours. You're in control. Everything belongs to you. You determine whether you're going to be happy or sad. You determine whether you're going to fight or be in peace. You determine everything. The world is yours. You're no longer a victim. You're no longer, kind of a passive goer-by person who just things kind of affect him this way. But you're the one who's in control. Okay? And look at that last verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you act in meekness in accordance with what God wants, God gives you. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, which you're always scared of this guy beating you up. What he gives you is power, he gives you love, and he gives you a sound mind. He gives the world to you, and the world becomes yours, becomes your inheritance. Okay? So, that's what meekness is. Last thing. Best example of meekness. I told you Moses, the other one was Christ. Where's the best example of Christ's meekness? was on his last day on earth when he was hanging on that cross. He said, meekness is not weakness, is strength under control. A lot of people look at him hanging on the cross, and say, he's weak. Okay? He's weak, he got killed. He got beaten up. He got hammered, he got nailed, he got all that kind of stuff. He's weak. But we know that at any moment in time, he could have sent down the 12 legions of angels, the leprosy and the lightning bolt, and any one of us would have done that. Would have said, you know, if we had the power to cast people down, all that kind of stuff, we'd have done it in a second after what they did to us. All right? But he didn't. Now let me ask you a question. Which is more difficult to do? Which takes more strength? To be getting hit and not respond, even though you have the power to, or to be getting hit and to respond with the lightning bolts? I'm telling you, it took much more strength to not respond than it did to respond. That was him saying, I'm not going to be just a reactor to what you're doing. I came on this earth to love and to forgive and just to give. So nothing you can do, even nail me to the cross, is going to change that. I'm not going to be a reactor, I'm going to be an actor. And when me and you, learn to have that same quality, that we will not react to what everyone does to us, that we will control ourselves, and when people are serving us, we'll be understanding. When people disagree with us, we'll be tender. And when people correct us, we'll be teachable. When people hurt us, we will not be reactors but be actors. When we learn how to do that, we'll have the same happiness and the same blessing and the same kind of demeanor that our Lord Jesus Christ had of happiness. Any questions? All right, let's stand to pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this day that you've given us to partake of your holy body and precious blood. And we thank you, dear Lord, because you don't respond to us. You don't react to the way that we sometimes treat you. And you don't respond to the way that we neglect you and the way we ignore you and the way we put you as the last priority sometimes in life. But instead, you choose to love us still. And you choose to bless us. And you choose to save us. We thank you so much for that, dear Lord, and we pray that you would teach us how to be meek in this world, how to control our reactions, how not to always just be tossed by the wind and controlled by what everyone does around us, but instead to be actors in this world and to show forth your love and to find true happiness and true joy every single day. I pray for a blessing for our gathering here. I pray for our church, for our Father, William Shoy, and Tony Irini, and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, and St. Mark, and all your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.